I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. Bit of a stream of consciousness for you guys. I do this every now and then, you know, just have things any kind of need to talk about that are buzzing around in the old brain box. And I kind of need to talk about forgiveness today. I don't know why this is the thing that I feel like I need to talk about. And this is about the truth of journey, the waking up, you know, and seeing how terrible everything is and how terrible people can be. And along that journey, you really do learn a lot about the human condition. Before this, you know, maybe you're sleepwalking through life. You haven't quite come out of that state of torpor, you know, where everything's just kind of happening to you and your whims, your desires and urges and immediate senses and needs for hunger, food and gratification and entertainment. And you haven't really left that state of mind yet, you know, in those early days when you've kind of just, before you woke up, you know. I think we need to first of all remember what it was like to be like that. And this is the first idea about forgiveness I kind of want to talk about. Because I think we forget what it was like to not be in this world, in this zone of consciousness, where we're aware. We have a hyper-awareness now of what's happening to us and what's going on around us that other people just don't see. And we forget what it was like to be like that. And I think if we could just remind ourselves, and maybe I'll have a bit of a riff right now to remind you what that was once like, we could help maybe foster a bit more forgiveness in our hearts and love in our hearts for our fellow man, who more often than not today online, we're kind of berating them as the enemy, the common man, the common person who's doing stupid things and making society worse. Like, we blame them as though they're the problem, when really, ideas are the problem, bad ideas are the problem. And controlling people at the very top, a very few people at the top, are really responsible for this, you know. And there's people to be blamed, yes, but more often than not, we are putting our blame on the wrong people. And I think there is pure evil out there. And I think I'm going to let God deal with their judgments, because if I had to deal with it, it would not be righteous. You know, and that's the issue. That's the problem with man. Another thing you learn when you're kind of going along. But I think, again, remembering what it was like to be in this state beforehand. And I've been trying to remember. And I'm trying to describe it now. So hear me out. I feel like before I was awake and conscious, my focuses and ideas on a daily basis really did just revolve around, what do other people think of me? How do I look today? What will people perceive me as in a day-to-day moment? And I need to make sure it's positive. Okay, so image was important. The persona was important. The way I dressed, the clothes I wore, you know. And because there's very little going on in your mind when you're not awake, it really isn't. You're not really... It's very rare you're thinking about profound, deep philosophical ideas when you're just stumbling through life in like a state of ignorance. You're not, you know. If you've never done any research into anything grander than your own life and the people around you and what the TV told you, then you're not thinking on a day-to-day basis about things that are beyond your own self. Then what you are thinking about is money. What can I buy next? What am I going to watch tonight? What am I going to eat today? And how can I present this to the world that makes me look good, rich, successful, happy? And it's all about image, and it's all about gratification of the senses. So when I go clothes shopping, for example, today, I really don't care. I don't really want to be there. I don't want to choose the thing I'm going to wear because it's different now. But you see other people around shopping, and it's kind of like, that's the day. That's their entertainment for the day. That's the deepest thing they're going to do and what they're going to continue to talk about for the next 3 hours before bedtime. And tomorrow they're going to go to work and they're probably going to show and what they bought at the shop type of thing. And it's kind of, they're really just in this nebulous, commercialized world that's been created for them mentally. And they're not going to stop at any moment and think about anything else beyond what they did, what they spent their money on. what they've put in, the things they've surrounded themselves with, objects, stuff, you know. And again, I remember I did used to be like that. And it comes from this source of, if I'm quiet for too long, if I stop thinking for too long, if I don't distract myself for too long, then I will have to think and confront myself, and people aren't comfortable doing that. It's a big barrier, because we are all kind of under the thumb of, like I said, like an oppressive regime, basically. But it's like a gilded cage. It seems like everything's perfect. We have food on the table, heating, roofs over our head. We have everything we ever wanted, access to all this commercialized stuff. Everything's perfect. But there's something deeply undercurrent about it all that we know is terrifying and wrong and evil in some way, and distracting us and making us weaker. But it seems perfect on the surface. So to complain about it is wrong, you know. But like I said, the ideas we've been imbued with, the ideologies we've been given, the subjective, self-centered egotism that kind of runs and pervades our basic day-to-day meaningless existences from our indoctrination through the schools because of scientism and evolutionary theory and the removal of God from civilization is kind of, we have this deep depression within us and a feeling of meaninglessness, which we can't confront. So we fill it with stuff, with gratifying our senses all the time. And that's the state of mind of a person who hasn't become aware yet. And they don't even know that that's what they're doing. This is the other thing. They're running the programming. They're doing what the TV told them is what you're supposed to do. Buy this thing, have this holiday, eat this food, watch this TV or Netflix series, listen to this news article, believe this narrative. And they're just doing it. They're running on the tracks. They haven't come off the tracks in any way, shape, or form. And usually what happens is something knocks them off the tracks. They don't consciously choose to do it themselves, rarely. But something kind of knocks them off and they hit the ground. And they're like, and then for the first time, they're like, whoa, what's happening? What is this? And then they make the choice to go, I want to know more. Some don't. Some get right back on that train and just carry on and forget about what they saw. They'd rather not confront it or deal with it. So, I mean, the amount of people that, first of all, get knocked off the track are few in number, but the amount of people who stay off the track are even smaller. So we're an extreme minority of people who have basically woken up and can't go back to sleep. And we're just surrounded with all these sleepwalkers everywhere who are still dreaming and in that dream bubble. And they can't hear us. They can't even see us, to be honest. And when they do see us, we're akin to like a bug in their way, buzzing around. Like we're a nuisance. Let me get back to my stories type of thing. Shut up. And I feel like I'm explaining to you what it's like to be in that zone, because you probably forgot. Because this is the thing about dreams. When you wake up, you forget. Because none of it was real. None of it was of any substance. None of it was of any real, tangible impact on your life or existence. None of it was meaningful. Dreams can be fun. Dreams can have meanings in them or help process it. I get what you know. I'm not saying it's all meaningless necessarily, but in terms of impactful to your life, a dream is just a dream. What counts is what you do when you're awake. Okay? So, that's why you forget, just like any other dream. So I forgot what it was like to be like that. And I'm sure if you are listening to this and you've got to this stage where you even listen to someone like me online, then you've probably got to that stage too, where you forgot that life before. And as a result, we forget what it used to be like that. And then we get angry at those who are still in that state. Okay, and it's not natural, it's human, you know, and especially when loved ones are involved, because you want them to wake up and join you and be with you, you know, I get that. But we tend to let that turn into anger, hatred, and we become a lot less forgiving. And then when the next current thing happens and they follow the programming and change their profile picture or the filter or whatever, you know, to show their allegiance to the current thing, we get mad at them, forgetting that they really do not know what they're doing. And this is what Jesus said, you know, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. I understand that now. I really understand that point of view, because they don't. They really do not know that they're even on a track They don't know they're running the programming. They genuinely believe they are free-thinking individuals who have kind of organically come up with this belief and ideological system, and that what they're doing is the right thing to do. They genuinely believe that, because people fundamentally always want to be doing the right thing. They want to help each other. They want to help one another, and that gets exploited by the system for that reason. They're playing on people's virtuosity. They're playing on people's desire to want to help by channeling their energy into things that are not helpful at all, and only forward that pernicious, subjective, egotistical, narcissistic agenda, you know, the satanic agenda, shall we call it. But again, so this is kind of why I wanted to explain what was it like to be asleep to you again, to remind you, so you can maybe you can remember your dream again, you know, get reminded, so we can start to move towards this whole forgiveness situation, which I think is lacking a lot more these days. I think a lot of people's hearts are getting cold, turning to stone, because, and I get it, what people are doing is ridiculous. I watched a video the other day, okay, and someone shared it in the Telegram group, I think, and it was a Russian influencer, some woman. I don't know what she does. I don't care, you know, necessarily. I would never watch this myself. But she had just given birth. She was 2 weeks postpartum. And she's on a marble kitchen island, on the end of it, in stilettos, balancing on one leg with her leg crossed over the other, in stilettos, on top of a tin of baby formula, while holding another tin of baby formula. And she falls. Naturally. And then the news story is she broke her spine. Might never walk again. Who knows? But she was doing something called the Nicki Minaj Challenge or something like the Stiletto Challenge. And it's kind of like, you hear these stories and you read these things and you think to yourself, like, what the hell? These people are morons. And you get angry. It's kind of like, for what have you just ruined your life and your newborn child's life, who now has a paraplegic mother, for the sake of what? Wearing stilettos because Nicki Minaj did something stupid once on top of some formula, and you need to copy that for internet clout, and you get all these angry thoughts going in your head, and you realize, you forget, they don't know what they're doing. Because when you're in that state of mind, you are living on your baser instincts of, I need the tribe to accept me, I need to be seen to be conforming to the current thing, because that's the only thing there is from their worldview. They haven't woken up to realize that there's more than just the track. There is only the track to them. And if they don't follow the trend of the track, they fall behind, or they get left behind, or they get ostracized and they get kicked off the train. And that's scary. That's the unknown. And they cannot bear the thought of that. So they do the stiletto challenge. They film themselves capitulating. They show their conformity, because without that, they have nothing, because they don't have God. They aren't awake. They don't have an awareness yet that there's more than the narrative, the story, the script we've been given. So we have to forgive them, and we need to pray for them and love them and now care for that person who's broken their spine. Hopefully, maybe that's the thing that's going to knock her off the track, hey? And then she can make that choice whether or not she wants to realize maybe there's more than following these stupid trends and capitulating to the script. Hopefully. But the issue is, the people who choose to stay off the track are very few and far in between. Maybe, and I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if this is the case, but she may only use this to further her social media clout and garner sympathy, and that'll be her thing now. You know, paraplegic Russian mum. Instagram or TikTok, you know, I don't know, but this is where we are. It's interesting because I've got a guest coming on soon on the Understanding Creativity channel, and he is a musician who's left Spotify, and he actually holds the Guinness World Record for the most gigs played consecutively, I think within like a 24-hour period, for charity. They were all charity gigs, and I was reminded of like the Guinness Book of Records. And in the past, you know, the things people got world records for were these obscure things like the most pancakes eaten in a 3-hour period, or like I don't know, the most dominoes lined out within a 24-hour. It's really obscure, random things people were striving to be the world record holder of, you know. And now we have people trying to set world records for the amount of men who have ejaculated them within a 24-hour period. And this is a hot topic right now, especially in the manosphere of whatever her name is, some OnlyFans porn star who literally tried to attempt to do that. And that's what everyone's focusing on. And that's what people are striving to have their world record in being. It's like, well, that's a huge cultural shift, isn't it? So not only are people now sleepwalking and living off the basic desires for consumerism, but now also their dreams are getting perverted. And now we're living in a world where it's absolute, just degraded, disgusting, perverted filth. Like, it's getting worse and worse in terms of people's desires and needs and wants to keep the dream interesting, you know, to keep it going. And it's absolute reprobates. That's what it's come down to, you know, reprobate minds. And God is basically giving these people over to the reprobate minds, because, well, they're not really making any effort to get out of it. And I think it's more of a, I need them to roll around with the pigs more for them to finally go, wait a minute, what am I doing? And I need them to persist in their folly for longer, so hopefully they might become wise. So we're seeing these extremes of, you know, OnlyFans models setting disgusting world records and Russian style influencers breaking their spines, to hopefully people get the message. These extremes, although on the surface we get angry about them, again, coming back to this idea of forgiveness, we get angry. Look at me, I'm getting angry, because these things are so ridiculously stupid and a sign of something so absolutely awful, awfully corrupt with civilization in the Western world and within the Western mind, like the rise of AI partners, for example, as I showed earlier, you know, and what Grok was coming out with, and the absolute perverted obsession that the mass epidemic of lonely males have towards these synthetic relationships. Again, these are extremely bad signs, but it's easy for us instead to just simply mock them, laugh at them, hate them in some way, or call them stupid and ridicule them and bring them down, dehumanize them. And it's kind of, I need to remind myself of this, that no, they do not know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And we need to try our best to forgive them too. Now, that isn't to say don't call them out on their shit. You know, love is not just accepting people destroying themselves. Love is calling a spade when it's necessary, and telling people who degrade themselves to the nth degree that you maybe shouldn't do that, get some shame, that's terrible, you're going to hurt yourself, you know. Love is telling people not to put their hand on that stove. Like, no, don't put your hand in the fire. I know it looks pretty, but it will hurt you. You know, that's love, isn't it? Telling people not to do bad things when everybody else is telling them to do it. You know, maybe don't cut your genitals off. Like, maybe you're going to regret that in the future. Rather than a chorus of current thing people clapping along saying, yes, do it, so brave, so stunning. You know, I think we're called as Christians to point out the truth when necessary and correct people where it's necessary, in love and in forgiveness and not in judgment. Because I think judgment is the heavy thing that's weighing on people. And, you know, Christ did come to free people of that guilt and that shame, of that judgment of the sin, so they can feel free enough and alleviated enough to move on from it. Because the problem is with sin, people tend to identify with their sin and it becomes a part of their personality, and they then feel the weight of letting it go to be harder than just continuing to live in it. It's very odd. The psyche of humanity is very strange. It's like we enjoy punishment. We enjoy punishing ourselves and making our lives worse, you know? And I think that's why we needed a savior. And when Christ saves people, I think there's another thing people don't understand about Christianity. Not only is it you're being saved from judgment in the end after death, but you're also being saved from the track. You're being given awareness. Your eyes are being opened when you have a relationship and bring God back into your life. Suddenly, the narrative stops. The fake false script you've been reading and playing a part of on the world stage is over. The curtain drops. Okay. And then you see it now. And that's what really being saved is as well, in a real tangible physical sense, being able to finally see the world for what it truly is and be able to see yourself for what you actually are. A child of God made in his image, who is lovingly and fearfully made. And he loves you. I mean, there's nothing far greater than that. Nothing more nihilism destroying than that concept. Nothing more freeing. And an understanding that you are here, you are now, and you have the ability to live. Not on the track or on the base instincts or for the moment or for stuff, but truly for God and for each other. And see, forgiveness is kind of the means to get to that as well. Because the problem is, when you're in the world, you don't really forgive very easily, because there's nothing else to do but hate. In fact, the unforgiveness and the hatred towards your fellow man can be the fueling thing that keeps you going every day. It's a terrible thing to be fueled upon. It's destructive for yourself and everyone around you, but everyone else is doing it, so why wouldn't you? Because what else is there? You know, ripping into each other, bringing each other down, because it makes us feel better temporarily. If you haven't got anything else bigger than yourself or your immediate track understanding of the culture and your narrative that you're playing out, why wouldn't you be ripping into each other? It's fun, right? What else have you got to do? Watch another Netflix series? This is why you have troll accounts where people are just putting the worst of themselves into fake personas online and trying to ruin everyone else's life, because it's kind of, well, when everything's terrible and you're lonely and miserable, then why not go out there and inflict that pain on other people, you know? And it's unforgiveness is a major issue. And for us who have become aware, we're called first to really forgive. Because we're going to be surrounded with a lot of people who are going to grind our gears, are going to be doing things which are obviously, plain and simply, R-worded, you know, to put it blunt. Like, just, what are you doing? You know, and we, as an example for what you could be, for what being aware is, it's not hating them, it's forgiving them. And forgiveness is so radical in this world. It's an unforgiving world, and for those who do forgive, that's like a radical move that makes people pay attention, go, wait, whoa, what a minute, what? Did that guy just forgive me? What's he trying to do? Like, it's shocking to people. It really is, it's shocking. When you're on the track and you're following the narrative, it's insane to forgive people. It's like, what are you doing? Like, that's why. Why would you forgive them? They're just going to hurt you again. Like, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve your forgiveness. Those people have done nothing to deserve your love. You shouldn't do anything like that. Why? What have they given you? You know, and that's how they see the world. It's a transactional thing. Like, I even see this in like the manosphere stuff. I see a lot of videos coming out still, you know, like the red pill phase for men's red pill movements, which kind of are basically anti-women these days. And I get their arguments is rooted in a relationship should be a transaction, and women are no longer offering value in relationships, and they're breaking the social contract by not providing the basics within a relationship, so men are walking away, etc., etc. And it's kind of, well, why are you viewing human relationships in terms of transaction? Yeah, people aren't perfect. Men and women are going to behave in irrational, crazy ways as they try and emotionally regulate and deal with the insanity around them and fit in and feel confident and do what they can to be happy in a world of misery and pressure and pain. Okay. And yeah, they're not always going to fulfill social contracts, but marriage, for example, or relationships aren't social contracts, realistically. I know you want to see it that way, you want to break it down into a business terminology, but you can't treat relationships like business. They're messy, they're irrational, they're crazy, they're insane, and people are messy and irrational, they're crazy and insane. And you shouldn't try to blame the other party or gender for all the problems. What you need to do is forgive them. And move on. because the unforgiveness is what's going to destroy just basic relationships between men and women, you know. But again, those movements are entertainment for a lot of young men and maybe even women on the other side, you know, and it's kind of, they have identified wholly with the unforgiveness and the blame on the other side that they can't really go back. And it's all rooted in nihilism and anger and bitter and jealousy and just unforgiveness. And it's just not what we're called to do. And I feel like forgiveness will be easier if we can just remember what it was like to be like that. And that's what I'm trying to do here with the stream of consciousness, remind myself, and hopefully you who's listening to these random rants, you know, that we need to remember what it was like. We need to forgive them. We need to remember they really don't know. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't got a clue. Like them, their morality is that what they're doing is the right thing. Because it's what everybody else is doing. And it's unfortunate because a lot of it is basically rooted in how can we make life more fun? That's what fundamentally they're trying to do, because it's so monotonous when there's no meaning. So they do stupid things to try and make it more interesting, even if that includes burning the whole thing down just so something happens that's interesting. And that's the real shame. Because again, nihilism, godlessness in civilization just inevitably leads to this type of destruction. It always does. And even genocide in many respects, because if you're not going along with it, you're a problem. So you need to be removed. It can get scary. Again, it's hard to forgive people who can be so rational and inhuman and cruel. I get it. But at the same time, they are in the grips of possession from an ideology, an idea, a demon of some kind. Realistically, you know, something has them that isn't them, and they have identified wholeheartedly with it. So we need to learn to separate the bad ideas from the people. And I suppose as a truther, our job is to knock them off the track and then hope they stay off. Because again, I've explained in other tips, you can't make people see the truth or believe it or want to know about it. They have to consciously make the choice to pursue it. There's nothing you can do other than perhaps, as I'm saying here, somehow jerk them off that track quickly. Do something that's going to just knock them off for a second so they can quickly see. There's a scene in Wall-E. Have you ever seen the Pixar movie Wall-E, and all the fat people on this spaceship are just running along the tracks? It's actually a perfect analogy. And Wall-E knocks a guy off, basically, and he ends up falling off his chair, and the augmented reality just disappears for a second, and he actually sees, like, whoa, look at this place. And the same thing happens to a woman as well. She also gets knocked off, and then them two meet each other, and then they have a relationship, and it's not quite about way I get in tune with this, but it's similar to what I'm saying, you know. That's the best we can hope for. Oh, again, forgiveness. This is about forgiveness. As much as I'm trying to make it about forgiveness, other than just rambling on, but maybe you can let me know in the chat or in the description or in the comments here what you remember it being like when you were still unaware. Do you remember? You think you could write a paragraph describing what your day-to-day was like before you were awake? I think it might be a good practice for others to read these and see these as a healthy reminder for where those people are truly at in their brains, in their consciousness, in their walk, you know. And I think more empathy towards the state of mind might help us be more forgiving. Because like I tried to explain, it's hard. It's hard to forgive them because some of them are doing absolutely awful things. Some would say unforgivable things, you know, and I'm always reminded of when, you know, the adulteress was dragged out in front of the crowd, ready to be stoned. And they're asking Jesus, like, she broke the law, you know, what should we do? No, we need to stone her, right? And he's there, like, drawing in the sand. And then he kind of just says, any of you who's without sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, they all just drop their stones and walk away till nothing but the woman and Jesus are left, you know. And she was forgiven. and go and sin no more. Yeah. And that's beautiful. And then we need to remember, you know, it doesn't matter how whorish or awful or, you know, in the world people become and the actions they do and how terrible it actually gets, Jesus forgives them and you need to forgive them too. And it's not up for you or anybody else to not forgive them and judge them as though they're unsavable or too far gone. Because that's the problem with judgment and unforgiveness. You're implying that they don't deserve forgiveness. You know, if we can't forgive them, it's kind of like we're saying, well, no, they don't deserve to be saved. They can't be saved. And it's kind of, no, wrong attitude immediately. Doesn't matter how far gone they are into the script, on the track, down the track, you know, in the world, they can always wake up. They can always be saved. And we need to remind ourselves of that. So there you go, guys. There's a stream of consciousness rant for half an hour for you guys. Something I kind of just needed to process in my own head. I hope you enjoyed this. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.